and sisters, our scripture readings this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah. As we continue to our series of sermons in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, we'll read a few verses, then Jeremiah chapter 10, and then we'll also turn to Romans chapter 1. So we're going to do a few Bible readings today. So, Jeremiah chapter 2, and we read together the first 19 verses. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord. I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of the incurred guilt, disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the clans of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me, and went after worthlessness and became worthless? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that none passes through, where no man dwells? And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and its good things. But when you came in, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the Lord did not know me. The shepherds transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, I will contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your children's children I will contend. For cross to the coast of Cyprus and see, or send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods? Or even though they are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a slave? Is he a home-born servant? Why then has he become a prey? The lions have roared against him, they have roared loudly, they have made his land a waste, his cities are in ruins without inhabitants. Moreover, the men of Memphis and Tephanites have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not brought this upon yourself by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you away? And now, what do you gain by going to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what do you gain by going to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Your evil will chastise you, and your apostasy will reprove you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, declare the Lord God of hosts." Then we turn to chapter 10. And we read the first 16 verses. Hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do you good. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of nations? For this is your due. For among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Ephes. They are the work of the craftsmen and of the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. And he makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and he brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Not like these is he who is the portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Then we turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we read from verse 18 to 25. Romans chapter 1 from verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, even since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies amongst themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is to be blessed forever. Amen. So far the reading from God's Word. A Poor Exchange is the title of the sermon this morning. Brothers and sisters and children, sometimes we have something and we compare it to something that somebody else has. As you look at what the other person has, you ask yourself the question, what's better about what that person has to what I have? So you eventually convince yourself that whatever that person has is better than what you've got. And you ask the person to swap his for yours and vice versa. But after you've had it for a while, you realize that, it was not all that good. Yes, what you had in the first instance were actually much, much better than what you had, what you have now. A poor exchange. And a lot of times children make these kinds of mistakes, trading toys with other children because they perceive it's better value than what they've got. That is how we would like you to think today as we contemplate the passage that the Lord has penned for us through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah had the best God. The Israel had the best God possible, the only living sovereign God. And they swapped this God for idols made out of wood and silver and worshipped him. What a poor exchange. What a bad swap that Israel made. It's entirely possible that you have swapped something in your life that you have regretted. But in most instances, the things that we swap in life that we regret is not of permanent, everlasting value. But swapping God for idols have long-term, permanent implications. What happened in Judah and Israel was a shocking event. The Lord God wrote for us that he was shocked and dismayed for what Israel has done. No other nation has left their gods for other gods. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God spoke to his people and he challenges them and he says to them, go to the east, to Cyprus, and go to the west, to Kittim, as far as you can go, and you will find no other nation who has done such a dumb thing as to exchange their gods. And there's a metaphor for us here, isn't it? As far as the east is removed from the west, okay, so far the Lord challenges us, go and see whether this has happened before. And the answer, of course, is no. The only time this has happened is when Israel forsook their Lord God and moved and went and worshipped idols. It has never been done before. No nation has changed its gods. But when Israel and Jacob did, what happened? They exchanged their gods and they exchanged the glory of God for worthless idols, as we read in verse 11. Now to understand this, the word glory in verse 11 refers to, for us, to God himself. He was the glory of Israel. The word glory means radiance, splendor, brightness. In Exodus 34, we read that when Moses went into the tabernacle, after speaking to the Lord, he came out and his face shone, reflecting the glory of God. When Jesus was on the mountain and during the transfiguration, he came down and his face and clothing shone, dazzling white, whiter than what anybody can bleach. Mark 9:3. But the word glory also means substance. It also means weight, heaviness, something real, tangible, and of importance. Something worthwhile. So by contrast, the idols that Judah worshipped were worthless. I don't know when we read it, whether it struck you how the Lord expressed this when he said they go into the woods and cut for themselves timber and then make idols out of it. The people of God were attracted to the idols for all the wrong reasons. They were attracted to the idols because they were physical and tangible. In some cases, beautifully adorned with fabric and precious stones. Those idols allowed worship practices that God did not allow. Those idols allowed worship practices that pleased the people rather than what was God honoring. This is also part of the reason people today are attracted to idols, like money, beautiful appearances, lovely clothes or impressive furniture, flash car or a large home, All of these things can be seen and touched and are admired by people. It satisfies their wants. But even though these things are physical and material, they cannot satisfy our deepest needs, and they should not be worshipped. Imagine the drastic or dramatic impact when that expensive car is scratched by a stranger, or when somebody else builds a more beautiful home than the one you've got, or somebody else gets the promotion that you've worked so hard for, or your beautiful body starts aging and yet you put it through the rigor of vicious exercise every day. Imagine the destruction of the first gray hair you find on your head, the first wrinkle. You can't walk or run as fast as you could when you were young. How devastating it is when your idol starts changing. Our idols can't move, won't please us in the long run. They are ultimately useless. They are not worth anything. Like the idols of pagan nations, our idols have no weight, no power, and is definitely not everlasting. So the people of Judah has exchanged their God, who was weighty of substance, for something that were lightweight. A poor exchange. The foolishness of the exchange also comes through for us in chapter 10, where Jeremiah actually says to the nations, compare these idols that you worship to the only God. Just think about this for a moment. The people around you go out to the forest and cut down a tree. They make for themselves an idol, shapes it in the form of a bird, a man, or something that's in creation. Fasten it with nails and a hammer, put it somewhere, and then say, serve them. It's as lifeless as a scarecrow in a melon patch. It can't speak, it can't breathe, it can't walk, so it has to be carried everywhere. And you call that a god? It is an utter waste of time to worship such objects like these, because they can do nothing. They are of no effect. They are and remain a fraud. They are made of cement, or they are made of wood or timber, plastic or metal. They remain a fraud. A few years ago, when we went to Thailand, the tour group took us to the Buddha's temple. And I asked the tour guide, he said, what is Buddha made of? All 71 meters of Buddha is made of cement and gold paper. And when the man responded, he said, oh, but Buddha's ashes are there to be worshipped if you are interested. How sad it is, people worshipping cement and gold paper or entombed ashes. Contrast these useless idols with the Lord God himself. There is no one like the Lord. He is almighty and his name is almighty. Chapter 10 verse 6. Who should not revere you? Who is there like you? Which other king of the nations are there like you? This honor and glory only belongs to our God. Our God is unique. He is incomparable with anything else that exists. There is no one and nothing like him. Chapter 10, verse 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, was the way that Israelites started their morning prayers every morning. We know that our God is the true God, but the idols are false. We know that we serve a living God, but all the idols are lifeless. We know that our God is the eternal God, but the idols are limited and finite, can be burned away or destroyed. The contrast between idols and God comes through most clearly when we consider the creation. God says, I am the creator. I have made everything. Can that idol do and make anything? And this is how the Bible begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made the heavens by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. Chapter 10, verse 12. But brothers and sisters, not only is he the only creator God, but he also maintains and sustains the world and our lives. Listen to the words of chapter 10, verse 13. When he thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from the storehouses. Here is a magnificent description of the great providence of God. God is not like the idols of the world, for he is the maker of all things. The Lord Almighty is his name. Chapter 10, verse 16. But there's a tragedy, isn't there? A tragedy that people have exchanged the glory of the immanent God for images made to look like mortal man and birds, and animals and reptiles. They worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, as we've read in Romans 1. People did that in the 7th century BC, in the days of Jeremiah. They did that in the 1st century AD, and they are still doing this today. Many people, even in our own day and age, make God out of nature. They worship created things. You see this in some of the environmentalists and some of the greenies who make God out of Mother Nature. You can see this in the New Age movement and in religious movements that have been influenced by pantheism and Eastern religions. They make a God of the earth. Everything becomes a God, including yourself. And so everything becomes an object of worship. This is another example of idolatry in our generation. The foolishness of this exchange is also seen in the picture of water that God gave through Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have built their own cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. So God described himself as the living water, the spring of living water. At times, there are severe droughts in countries. And even in New Zealand, for a short period of times, we will experience droughts. The ground becomes hard. Farmers complain about the drought. There are no grass, and animals suffer and die. And at times like those, many farmers will give their everything for a spring of living water. Every farmer would give anything for a spring of living water. This was the powerful picture that the Lord leaves in the midst of Israel, and for us. And he says, are you digging for yourself cisterns, or are you relying on the living spring of regular water? So God compares himself to such a supply and said that he is the spring of living water. That, of course, reminds us of Jesus' conversation with a woman in Samaria when he says, I'm the living water. Whoever drinks from me shall never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give him will spring up within him a water welling up to eternal life. John 4:40. So we know that the Lord Jesus is the spring of living water. He can supply all our spiritual needs. He can give us eternal life. If you trust in him, he can supply everything that we need every day. But we need to believe in him. We need to rely totally on him for whatever we need. We need to put our trust in God and not in ourselves. We must love him with all our hearts and not love us or other people more. We must have no other gods before him. This is where Israel failed. In the Lord, they had an eternal supply of living water. They turned away from God and what he could give them, and instead, they decided to do it their way. They dug broken cisterns. Now, a cistern is not a spring. A cistern is a hole in the ground that you dig, like a pit, that you plaster out with limestone, and then as the water fills the tanks, you cover it, and that becomes the water for you during the dry season. Pretty much the same as the practice on many farms and small holdings to have a couple of water tanks that you will catch the run of water. But in the biblical days, limestone plaster used to crack and the water would disappear. And so the Lord compared Israel's idols with leaky cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. The idols that Judah worshipped could not supply water they needed. They could not satisfy the spiritual needs of Israel. And we read in Isaiah 2 verse 28 that Jacob had as many gods as there were towns in Judah. Where were those gods when Israel needed them? Instead of relying only on the Lord to help the people turned to Egypt and to Assyria. In the early part of Jeremiah's ministry, these two nations were very prominent and strong. They held the balance of power in the Middle East, and until 612 BC, they ruled. But Assyria came and defeated them. Using the image of water, Jeremiah asked them, "Now why do you go to Egypt to drink? Why do you go to Assyria to drink? Can they provide you everlasting living waters?" And as we saw, those two nations that Israel relied on was overthrown by the Assyrians. As the Lord considered what his people had done, he was appalled at their idolatry and horrified at their foolishness. Verse 12. They had committed two grave sins, forsaking him, and the other is turning to idols. We need to put ourselves in God's shoes and see this from his perspective. This was their response after all that he had done for them, all he has given them, all that he has provided for them. Their idolatry was a sin of ingratitude, but it was also an offense against the majesty of God. God is almighty and we owe him worship. This is his due. We must revere him, and it is a sin to transfer that reverence and awe to idols. We must consider this as we think about the idolatry in our time, in our day. Since the time of the enlightened brothers and sisters, people thought that our reason can be our God. We can address everything else through rational thought. There will be no wars, no poverty, nothing, because we have the ability to think through it ourselves and resolve it. But what a mistake. But we don't have to look back in history, do we, to find idols like this in theology, in thinking, in approaches. An idol, brothers and sisters, is anything that we put in the place of God. Anything that is more important than the Lord himself. Which begs us the question, what are our idols? We have already mentioned money, beautiful appearance, lovely clothes, nice furniture, flash car. But we can go further. Your idol could be your career, your level of fitness, your physical physique, your sport, your farm, your children, your grandchildren. It can be your education, your learning process, a relationship, boyfriend or girlfriend. Is there anything in your life that's more important to you than your relationship with the Lord? Are you in danger of forsaking the Lord and exchanging him for worthless idols? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we make poor exchanges. Sometimes we rely more on our idols than on the Lord. Sometimes we rely more on our work or our sport to give us the things we want, and so not recognize all these things come from the Lord. Sometimes we swap things, and later out find out what a bad deal it was. This will happen if we try to replace God for anything else in this creation. The idols of our age are broken systems, just as they were in Jeremiah's days. Brothers and sisters, who will remember in 3 months' time who won the most medals at the Olympic Games? Who will know who won the Nobel Prize for Peace in 2007? Whatever awards and rewards we can get on this earth is only temporary and will not last. The idols of our age are broken systems. They're presented to us, clothed in clothes and beautiful stones, to entice us away from the living God. Fame, fortune, money and success, fancy houses and cars are put forward by the world to entice us away from worshipping the living God. Don't repeat the sin of the people of Judah. Learn from these words of the prophet. Remember that the idols of this age are foolish, worthless, and it will not satisfy us in the long term. Brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord comes to us this morning and is abundantly clear. Worship the Lord God, our glory, the spring of living water, and give him his due every day. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in time of prayer. Heavenly Father, you have spoken to us this morning again from your word. Lord, and so easy do we make idols out of things. Yes, Lord, so easy it is for us to think we should work hard or play hard or do things to the best of our ability so that we can achieve certain things. But Lord, so often these things that we worship and these things that we strive for stand in stark contrast with the glory and worship of your name. Yes, Lord, so many times do we do these things to get the honor and the glory ourselves. Lord, so many times do we do these things for our pleasure and our goodwill. Lord, and these things are of such temporary unimportance. Heavenly Father, we are all human and we all strive, Lord, to put ourselves on the pedestal. Yes, Lord, you know our nature. Yes, Lord, you know the way that we walk. Lord, there's nothing hidden with you. Lord, whether it is the desire to work harder or to do better to get more physical things, Lord, or whether it's to get that recognition and be placed on a pedestal, Lord, or to achieve something for which the world will recognize us. Oh, Lord, we ask that you will destroy all those ones in our lives. Heavenly Father, that we'll recognize that there's no one else to worship but you. Lord, that your Spirit will bring us to the point where we'll fall down and glorify and worship your name. Gracious Lord, we ask that your Spirit will take charge of all of us. Lord, and break down those areas in our lives where we seek self-worship. Lord, and if there are things that we worship, physical things, Lord, that we'll get rid of those and turn our love and our worship to you, the only living God of the heavens and the earth. Heavenly Father, so often do we stand amazed at the working of our own hands. Lord, what worship, self-worship that is. Heavenly Father, not recognizing that it's you in the first instance that gives us the abilities and the means to do things. And Lord, as we've read in Corinthians this morning, Heavenly Father, let us use the grace and the means you've given us to give effect to the grace and the means. Yes, Lord, to rather build your kingdom and your glory on earth, Heavenly Father, and to use it and abuse it for our own good. Heavenly Father, help us as we all do introspection in our lives. Yes, Lord, as we look into those areas of our lives where we put other things first, gracious Lord, speak to us and give us the insight and understanding of your Spirit to know how to also put these things under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, be gracious to us, Lord, and be patient with us. Lord, as you continue to work with each and every one of us till we become perfect, when we will see you one day, clothed and washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, destroy our idols so that we will only worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name.